Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Resources. Can you say just resources? Can you just say it with an S and not a Z? A Z?
I like how you said Z. Yeah. Resources. It doesn't work. It feels...
But
it's wrong.
There's no Z. There's no resources, Z in it. For those who don't know that in Canada, they call a Z a Z.
But, resources. Or you do it like resources.
Resources. No, it's now you went to Australia. Now you're resources. No, it's resources.
Resources.
How do you say the word source?
Source.
So how come you just can't put a re in front of that?
Because it mixes with the Z. Resources.
There's no Z in there.
I don't know. Funny. Okay. All right. So we are going to be doing a episode today on values. And when you plant a new church, one of the things that you have to do is figure out what your values are. It's and because obviously if you're coming planting out of a sending church or have been a part of any other church, whether the church articulates their set of values or not, and whether they do it accurately or not, the fact is they have values, they have culture. Yet when you plant a new church, you have the opportunity to set what that is and to articulate, okay, moving forward, these are the values of our church. The interesting thing though, in the whole values conversation is the fact that if you're revitalizing your church or replanting your church, or if you're in a campus and you do this exercise, it's actually a pretty difficult exercise because a lot of times it's like, okay, is that a core value? Is that a permission to play value? Is that an accidental value?
Yeah.
Or right. I mean, there are all these different types of values. And what we often do in churches is when we list our values on our website, they're not our core values. They're actually these permission to play values where it's like gospel.
Well, I think
you
gotta unpack that a little more. So go ahead. I mean, how do you guys do it at your church? How do those values work? I mean, what would you say are some of those that you'd want?
Yeah, and that's the piece where it's like most of the time, because when I was writing No Silver Bullets, I did quite a bit of research on this. I mean, honestly, most of the time, the values that churches have are permission to play ones, right? It's statement of faith ones. It's like gospel-centered, right? Or spirit-filled or missional. I mean, what evangelical church doesn't want to be gospel-centered, spirit-filled, and mission-minded or missional, right?
Have you met some... Anyway, I'm just, you know, the spirit-filled one might throw off a whole lot of people, but I think
sure. Right, but we use these generic statements because it's like, yeah, no, I mean, or Bible-centered, right? I mean, it's just like we do these things and we're like, yeah, that's of course. I mean, shouldn't every church have those values as being core values? But really, when we're talking about values, we're talking about culture and
how do you express them at your church? How would that, so if I agree with you,
yeah,
how would you make that work?
Yeah. So for our church, it's interesting. I mean, we are in our 100th year. And so when I came to do succession and this upcoming year in a couple months, we'll be officially passing the baton. But when I came, that was one of those first questions. I looked at our six values and I was like, I don't know how many of these are actually core, how many of these are accidental, how many of these are aspirational, and how many are permission to play. So what I did, and this is, I'll give you context as to what I did, and then it's obviously different for a church plant. But what I did was really begin, I began having conversations with those who had been a part of our church for 65 years, for 70 years, others who have been apart for 6 months, 2 months, and really began getting into that, okay, what, like, behavior-wise, culture-wise, feel-wise, who is Beulah? And just to make a really quick example that I think we can all relate to, it feels different to fly on Southwest than United, right?
For sure.
I mean, whether you've read
just
their
for
website.
The record, I never fly on Southwest. I always fly on United, but I definitely would say there's a difference.
Yeah. And whether you've read their corporate values or whatnot, there's just a felt difference.
Okay, the difference for me was one flies out of Midway, one flies out of O'Hare, and one's closer to me. But okay, so, but there's definitely, I mean, yeah, you go to a Southwest experience, it's fun, it's, you know, whereas United can be a bit drab, and United's more business. Southwest is, even though Southwest is a very big airline, Southwest feels more homey. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, so when it comes to reaching your community and reaching your neighbors, part of the thing is most people aren't going to evaluate whether they want to come to your church based on whatever your stated values are. They're going to come and they're going to experience your values. They're going to experience your core values. So the exercise is to then say, okay, how do we articulate our felt experienced values? Some are probably going to be accidental. So that's why actually articulating what your core values are gives you a navigation point as a church and with your leadership to say, no, we're going to celebrate these core values. We're going to celebrate who we are. We're going to cultivate culture in and around that so that we can move it forward. So I'll give you an example. So for our context, I mean, this is 100 years. And as we were looking at, okay, what are some of those core values that have actually pervaded the 100 years? Well, one of them is just being relentlessly missional. I mean, the church, Beulah has planted over 60 churches have been planted from our church, right? And I'm trying to figure out how many granddaughter churches have been planted from that for our 100th anniversary, but there has just been this relentless missional mindset from the beginning, where in fact, the first radio station in Edmonton was bought by our church to do evangelistic programs onto the radio. They served communion. They printed in the newspaper, hey, we're serving communion, so that the rural areas and the farmers would get it ready and be able to participate via radio on our services. We had a Model T Ford car that was our gospel car that was used for evangelism. I mean, just over and over and over again, just relentlessly missional. So for us, it's like, okay, yeah, that is actually a core value that we've embodied in the past, that we are embodying now, and we need to articulate as being front and center. Otherwise, you know how it goes. I mean, you can drift based on the flavor of the day.
Okay, so you have taken generic values and made them historic. I'm trying to use words that would be not words you use, but sort of describe it. You've made them historic. You've made them more intentional. And does that seem to change the category of the kind of value it is? Is that kind of what you're going for?
Yeah. I mean, part of it is it's identifying what is, right? Not what you want to be. Not what you're accidentally, and not necessarily what you think churches should be. It's really articulating what is so that you can build culture around that.
And so then you articulate what is, but you've also articulated them with some pretty, you know, stronger words than we're missional, we're gospel centered, but you've added an adjective or two here, there, and you've built it on history and it's kind of described it out. So, okay. So now how would you see that happening in a church plant?
Well, that's the thing, right? It's the tricky thing is a lot of these values, especially, I mean, part of it is there's the founder. Well, you know, we often hear about it from the side of founder syndrome, right? Or the founder dilemma, especially when it comes to succession. But as the church planter, oftentimes when you're planting a church, what you embody close to your heart often becomes the core values of the church plant. No?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for you, Ed, in the 3 or 4 churches that you've planted, would you say that is it 4? Or is it 3?
It depends who you count. I'd say 4. Yeah. Okay. If you count a couple more that I was the senior pastor of, but we hired a church planner.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then for those churches, would you say that they all felt pretty similar?
Similar, yes. There were, you know, one, it was socioeconomically and culturally, and there were more diversity in some others. And so that was reflected some of the core values.
Yeah. So then for what you embody personally as a pastor and as a church planter, would you say that your personal core values actually made their way into the church plant?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you articulate some of them?
Yeah, so I would say that certainly, like for me, one of the, you know, first church we planted was among the urban poor in the inner city of Buffalo, New York, and some of the core values would be around the kind of community we want to be, helping to restore and, you know, reconciliation, restoration. I don't think I used those R words then. I probably use them now. And I would say that those were things that I was passionate about to start with. So sure. So, I mean, in a church plant, your core values. You look to the history at your church and a church plant. You probably bring some of that to you. It's part of the vision, part of the mission, part of this is what we're going to plant. If you want to be a part of this, this is how we're going to do it. So yeah, that's all there for sure.
Yeah. So it's interesting as a church planter then to, as you're wrestling through your prospectus and putting that together, and perhaps you've already planted and you're like, okay, well, I actually didn't do this exercise in and around core values and I haven't articulated them out. It'll be very beneficial for you to do that so that you can make sure that the core values that you have are actually the ones that are going to be moving you toward the vision and the mission that God has given you for your area. Because without that intentionality, what I've found in a lot of churches is that the more you add staff and the more you add key leaders, they actually bring their values. And in the absence of clearly stated core values, they just assume that, okay, well, I believe in this and we're kind of on the same page, so we're going to do this. And as you continue to multiply yourself through your leaders, you actually then begin experiencing vision drift because the values are incongruent with each other.
Yeah, every time somebody comes to the church plant, they bring their own vision values with it. And that's going to be a good thing. You know, I would say that every church I planted, the vision evolved over time. Now, part of what my job as a pastor and shepherd is to make sure it doesn't evolve away, to make sure it doesn't drift. But the reality is in every case, the vision became bigger and different, articulated even differently over time. So sure.
Yeah. All right. So we'll give you some resources in the show notes, in the show notes to help you dig into that a little bit. But thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.